You can go to Genesis chapter 2. Nothing like starting in the beginning, or almost the beginning. What I wanted to teach on today is actually about freedom and liberty. And most people don't recognize or understand or appreciate the freedoms and the liberty they have until they no longer have them. And many times people are willing to give up freedoms for security. So we as believers should want to know what our rights and privileges and responsibilities are according to God. And then and only then we can use them, we can exercise them, we can apply them, and we can appreciate them. So I want you to go to Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 15. It says, "And the Lord took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." To dress means to work in the garden, and to keep it, to guard over it, to watch over it, to take care of it. "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." So he had some freedoms there, didn't he? He had the freedom and liberty to eat of the garden when he wanted, what he wanted, as much as he wanted. And then it goes on to say, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And you know, this communicates to us that the man had a choice. You know, God said you can eat of everything except for this one thing. And he had a choice. He said, and if you make the wrong choice, then you're going to suffer this consequence, which was that you will surely die. And we know that when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the garden, that they lost spirit life. They lost spirit. They died spiritually that day. So man, God gave man free will, the ability to choose in life. Every human's right, every believer or non-believer has the right to choose right or wrong, good or bad. Lots of things in life. And depending where you live and under what kind of government, you know, you have more or less freedoms. I read a stupid quote that under dictatorship, you don't have the right to express your opinion publicly or privately. But you know, you may still have it, right?
Yeah.
You can't stop you from thinking. Let's go to Acts 28. Acts 28. So we all have the ability and the freedom to believe, to choose, to think. God did not create us to be robots or automatons or whatever. In chapter 28, verse 23, it says, "And when they had appointed him a day," this is Paul, and he was in Rome, and he was in his hired house at this point, or actually it's before, he's still under guard. He appointed a day, and there came unto him, unto his lodging. It's the Jews of Rome, the chief Jews and people, and he was speaking to them. And he had spoken to them previously, and he spoke to him of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And so then he said, "Well, we'll come back and talk to you about this." So they appointed a day, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So from morning till night, Paul expounded the scriptures from the Old Testament concerning the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ to these Jews. That must have been a heck of a good teaching. In verse 24, it says, "And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not." You know, and that's, you know, that's the choice that all mankind has, to believe God or not believe God. I mean, that's the basic, most important choice that you make, and then to believe in Jesus Christ, his son, to get born again. What a great choice. God doesn't make us believe him, does he? He doesn't make us be Christians, but he allows us and gives us the opportunity to believe. And, you know, after we believe and are born again, then we still always have the freedom of choice to believe or not believe the Word of God. And that's the challenge many times, right? We want to believe God, but sometimes we get fearful or we get nervous or we face difficult situations, and we have to train our minds to rely and trust in God, to believe God, no matter what goes on. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Get to work your knowledge of the books of the Bible here. Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is a cool verse because this is, you know, Israel getting ready to go into the promised land, and he's put up with a lot of stuff with them. You know, one whole generation dies off before they can go in. And Moses, he's going to die, and he's instructing them before they go in. And verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. That means God is witness. You know, Moses is speaking to the children of Israel by revelation, and he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, to be a witness that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. So here he's saying, what? You have a choice. You always have a choice. You have a choice to believe God or not. You have a choice to have life and blessing or cursing and death, which the previous chapters and have laid out for them, you know, the blessings and cursings. And that thou mayest love God. You know, it doesn't say thou wilt love God, right? It says thou mayest, you know, if you choose to. It's a choice. God didn't make them. But he lays this out. You know, if you choose my way, you're going to get blessed. And if you don't choose my way, you're going to have a problem. What a cool thing. How kind was God? Let's go to Joshua 24. Chapter 24 of Joshua, and we're going to look at verse 15. It says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, that's pretty cool, isn't it? He brought them all the way over. You know, they've come into the promised land. And once again, Joshua, at the end of his life, says, you know, okay, you got to choose who you're going to serve. You know, and we always have that choice before us, who we're going to serve. Was it Bob Dylan wrote a song about that? You know, you're going to serve something or somebody. Well, we want to serve the Lord. We want to serve God and his son, Jesus Christ. What a great and loving God that he was willing to give us free will, to give us the opportunity to choose. He didn't want pre-programmed people to do his bidding. He didn't want to dictate to us that we should believe, but rather he lovingly implores us, asks us. He wants us to, but he doesn't make us. What a great thing. If you've raised children, you know, you want them to love you and you want them to obey, not because you make them, but because they want to. You want them to do and make the right choices because you've taught them and you've loved them and you've taken care of them. You know, and hopefully somewhere along the line they get the message. And sometimes you scratch your head. Okay, so he gave us free will. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm Psalm 119, verse 30. And this is the psalmist writing, right? The psalmist. He says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. And the psalmist says here, I have chosen you, God, and have chosen your truth above all other truths or all other things that are put out there, all other philosophies, theologies, science, and everything else, you know. He said, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments or justice have I laid before me. Let's go to Romans. He chose truth, and we can choose truth. We always have the right and the freedom to choose God's way or another way. You know, even when we have known the truth, I'm sure you've all known people that have gotten born again, went to fellowship, and then walked away. You know, why can they walk away? Because they have freedom of will, right? You know, there are some things that in some situations where people are not allowed to walk away. You ever watch a mob movie, you know, and the hitman, he's not allowed to walk away. that's, you know, I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, in dictatorial regimes and, you know, communist countries and places like that, the Nazis, you couldn't walk away. If you walked away, you died, right? You know, you didn't have a choice. You were made to go a certain way and live a certain way. That's not God's way. God's way is that we have freedom to choose, and we have freedom to choose the best way to go, God's way to go. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, what it says, that if, wow, you know, he didn't make us get born again, but it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You'll be made whole. You'll be delivered. You know, when we got born again, it was because we made a choice, a conscious choice. Now, you know, you may have been very young and you just got raised with it and you just, it was easily to accept, or you may have been an adult and it was put before you and you made that choice. I don't know, but it was a choice. It was a decision that you make in your heart. And then we make that decision to obey God, to listen to God, so that we know what we have. When we get born again, we receive eternal life. We receive sonship rights. We receive privileges. We receive responsibilities. You know, it's kind of interesting. As I was reading this, I have a little booklet on the Constitution. So I pulled it out to look at it, you know, and I looked at the Bill of Rights. And, you know, the First Amendment is freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of press. Is there anything else with that? I don't think so. You know, and I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, freedom is risky. Freedom has risks. You know, if you believe in freedom of speech, then you also believe that people can disagree with you, and nobody wants anybody to disagree with them. And, you know, so if you love people and you're kind and you're a Christian, you probably don't like hate speech. But if you believe in freedom of speech, then people have the right to have hate speech, don't they? Which now seems to be a crime. You know, so it's risky. Freedom is risky. But if you want the risk, if you want the freedom, then you have to take the risk. You know, we have freedom of religion. Well, if you truly believe the Bible and you believe what we've been taught, if you believe what the Bible says, it's axiomatic that everybody else is wrong. It's right? Isn't that true? You know, they may be right in part, and we may recognize where they're right in part. You know, the Muslims believe there's one God. Okay, I believe that too. But from there on, I pretty much think they're wrong. The Jews believe in Jehovah. And they believe in all the stuff we believe in the Old Testament. But then they don't believe in the Messiah. Well, we disagree wholeheartedly with that, don't we? And so on and so forth. We don't believe the things that other people believe. If they believe differently from what the Bible says, if they don't believe in Jesus Christ, they don't believe in a rightly divided word, then we believe they are wrong. But we believe in their right to believe that stuff. Remember, Dr. Will used to say, If a man wants to go to hell, it's his right. And, you know, that's right back from Genesis 2:15, right? If a man wants to go to hell, he has that right to choose that. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. What a great God that he gave us freedom, that he made freedom available. Chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, that's the inheritance we received when we got born again, when we made that choice to believe in Jesus Christ, believe that God raised him from the dead. We received an inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's another right that we have before God, just like we have the right of free press, freedom of religion, freedom of speech in our Constitution. Here we have the right to be delivered from the power of darkness. We have that right. But does every Christian take that right? Does he apply that right to his life? Does he decide to live in light, or does he sometimes choose darkness? You know, it's something we have been delivered from. It has no authority over us. It has no power over us. It doesn't have any control over us. We can walk away from it because we have that freedom and that ability. God has given us the power and the authority to walk away, and we have that freedom and that privilege. So he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us or transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And, you know, again, we have the forgiveness of sins, you know, and we can believe in that forgiveness. That's something that God did for us. We received that the moment we got born again. We had total remission of sins. And yet, sometimes we condemn ourselves, don't we? We have guilt. But we don't have to, because God has delivered us from that. And that's our choice. That, again, would be being in darkness, wouldn't it? You know, that's darkness. We choose the light or we choose the darkness. So when you start condemning yourself for something, say, wait a minute. I'm delivered from that. I have the freedom to choose the light. I have the freedom to live in light of God's word. What a great thing. Let's go to Acts 26. You know, when people live in darkness, what did I say? Acts 26. Uh-huh. When people live in darkness, they have allowed the devil to usurp their life because they have allowed it. But you can walk away at any time you want. It's your choice. You can walk out of the darkness into the light by simply renewing your mind and believing God. And you have to then choose to stay in the light. 26, verse 18. What a great verse. This is part of what Paul is speaking. He's talking about his conversion and what Jesus Christ commissioned him to do. It says, to open their eyes, speaking of the Gentiles, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by believing that is in me, in Jesus Christ. You know, we have received that deliverance. We have been turned from the power of darkness unto the power of God. We have turned from the power of Satan unto the power of God. You know, we've gone from darkness to light, from Satan to God. And we have the forgiveness of sins, and we have the inheritance of the saints in light. We have those things, but we choose to live in them or not. Just like Adam had the choice to choose to live in the Garden of Eden forever, and he chose not to. It's kind of crazy. He chose not to. We have that choice. We can live free, and we have the liberty, and it's great. But you know, freedom and liberty are funny things. They can be lost or given up very easily if we not stay aware and vigilant. And you know, we don't lose that freedom and liberty and the rights we have, but we don't use them. We don't apply them in our lives. We don't hold fast to them. You know, we always remember the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, right? Well, if you're born again, he can't destroy you. I mean, you have eternal life. He could kill you, but it's only a temporary thing. But he will absolutely try to steal. He'll try to steal that physical life from you. He'll try to steal your peace, your joy, your serenity. He'll try to steal your believing. He'll try to steal your walk with God. He'll try to steal the word from you. He'll try to steal all those things, everything that God's made available to us, our righteousness, our sanctification. He will try to make us think that they're not true, that they're a lie, you know. And so we have to stay vigilant. We have to know what our rights are, what our privileges are. We have to know what God has given us and what he's made available to us and the freedom he's given us. Galatians chapter 5. Did I tell you that? Galatians chapter 5. It's a great verse. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Here in the context, he's talking about the yoke of the law, you know, the bondage. But God has delivered us. When we were born again, he's delivered us from all the bondage of the law would be the Old Testament law, or, you know, being religious, that you have to do this and do that. And if you don't do that, you're going to go to hell. And, you know, you have to atone for all your sins and you have to do this. And, you know, God has taken care of all that through his son, Jesus Christ. He's given us liberty, the right to choose the things of God. Jesus Christ made us free. He took away everything that could entangle us, that could put us in bondage. He took away fear. We don't have to be afraid. Why? Because he already took care of everything for us. He already fulfilled all the law and all the prophecies. He paid the perfect sacrifice, the total sacrifice for everything that would ever put us in bondage and hurt us. What a great God. Wow. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage," with the yoke of bondage. You know, and that requires us to do two things. It requires us to remember, to know the freedoms and the liberties and the rights we have in Christ. And then we have to be vigilant. We have to stay with it. We have to keep our mind focused on what God has given us. What a great thing to know. So we don't want to be ignorant. We don't want to be uninformed. And we don't want to be lazy about it. Let's go to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Whoops. Okay, chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth." You know, so God's desire, God's will is for every man to be saved. But not every man will be saved, right? Because man has free will. Man has the choice. He can choose whether or not to believe. And we saw that people will. Some will believe when they hear the truth, and some will not believe. And then we went on to see, you know, that some people will stand in the liberty wherewith they have been set free, and some people will not. You know, they'll fall back into the bondage of the world. He wants all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. And that's the key for us, that we have the truth in our hearts and our minds, that we hold it fast, that we keep making the right choices, that we train our mind to stay fixed on the freedom that God's given us and the liberty and the rights and the privileges that we have. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, if there is condemnation, it's self-inflicted. Or if other people would condemn you, of course, here condemnation means the sentence of death. And, you know, you go back in the Old Testament and there were lots of reasons why you would get condemnation, wouldn't you? And there were lots of reasons why Adam and Eve, well, there was one reason why Adam and Eve got the condemnation or the sentence of death, and that was because they did what? Disobeyed. And did the one thing that God told them not to do. But once we're born again, we have eternal life. For it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me what?
Free.
Free from the law of sin and death. We are free from the law of sin and death. We're free from it. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God in us. And because we have that Spirit, we are righteous. We've believed and we've been made righteous. We are whole and righteous in God's sight. Let's go to verse 15. It says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When we speak in tongues, when we recognize that Spirit, it is the witness to us that we are the children of God. And when we recognize that we are the children of God, we recognize that we have all the rights and privileges that God has given every born-again believer. We have that, and we can choose to listen to God. We can choose to apply the Word of God in our lives, and we can choose to walk with God and not be in the spirit of fear, which is pretty cool. It says, you know, we have not been given the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear is bondage, right? You know, in the Old Testament, in Exodus, if you read carefully and you read Israel, you know, they were slaves. They were in bondage to the Egyptians. And they were making bricks out of mud, which is still how we make bricks today, basically. Except they, you know, they put sand, they put straw in it to hold it together as a binder. And then they would heat the bricks or let them dry in the sun, and they would get hard. And so on. And then Pharaoh got afraid because Israelites were growing and prospering. So he took away their straw and he took away their day off. And so they cried and they were so upset and they prayed to God and they said, you know, ease our burden. Just, you know, ease it up some. They didn't ask for freedom. They didn't ask to get released. They asked for a little easing up, you know, a day off. Straw so they could make the bricks better and they could fulfill the quota quickly. And God sent Moses. And when God sent Moses, what did the people do? They said, we don't want to listen to you. We don't want to go anywhere. We like it here. And then when they finally got evicted, basically, they got kicked out and they went into the wilderness, what did the people of Israel say? Why did you take us out of there where we had a place to die?
You were raised there.
Yeah, you know, they loved bondage. They loved it. They liked the security of bondage. They didn't want the risk of freedom. The risk of freedom is that you have to believe God. You know? What a great thing. That's human nature when you don't understand the truth. You know? Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's there making intercession for us. He's there telling God, hey, these guys are great. When we pray, Jesus Christ said, here, God, we have to answer this prayer. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ because he's there making intercession for us. He's at the right hand of the throne of glory. Wow. What a cool thing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. It's so cool how God set everything up for us, to bless us, to take care of us. Chapter 2, verse 18. For through him, through Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We have the freedom of access unto the Father. I bet you never thought of it that way, but, you know, back in the Old Testament, they didn't have access to God like that. You know, they didn't have the freedom to just go to God, you know, and say, hey, God, here's the deal. I need help. I need to talk to you. We have access. Let's go to chapter 4 of Hebrews. It's our right and our privilege that we can go before God. Verse 15, it says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So cool, you know, God puts that in a negative, but it's to emphasize the positive. We do have a high priest, and he cannot be touched with the feeling, or he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He understands our weaknesses because he was a man. He walked on the earth. He had to deal with all the temptations. And it says, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he understood our infirmities, our weaknesses, our problems, our situations, our everything. It says, but he was without sin. He overcame them. Let us therefore, because he did that for us, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We have a right to go before God. We have total access unto that throne of grace, and Jesus Christ is there at the right hand making intercession for us all the time. What a great God. And he gave us that freedom to do it. He gave us the freedom to approach him to do that. And let's go back to Romans chapter 14. All true freedom comes from God. You know, and man basically never has total freedom, but the freedom we have and the true freedoms we have are from God himself. And the real true total freedom is that we have freedom of death. You know, we're going to have eternal life. So, chapter 14, verse 16, it says, let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We have a right to that. We have a right to righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And again, the devil will try to steal that from you. You know? But it's yours. You can choose God's righteousness, God's peace, God's joy. Remember God, the definition of righteousness is our ability to stand before God without any sense of fear, guilt, or shame. What a cool definition that is, you know? Because we do. We have the right and the privilege to stand before God that way. We don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to feel guilty. We don't have to be afraid because God loves us. He's already taken care of everything. He's already had his son to pay the price for our missteps, our faults, our sins, our everything. He took care of them already. Everything we did in the past, our sin nature and all the sins that came out of that sin nature, whatever happens now and whatever we would do in the future is already paid for. All we have to do is recognize it and thank God for his forgiveness and love. What a cool thing. Where was I? 16, 17. Okay. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith we one may edify another. You know, and we have that choice to walk that way, to walk that way, to live a peaceable life and to edify each other and love one another. That's the choice that God would have us to make. But we don't have to do it, right? It just says, you know, let us do that. You know, if you go back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, when it talks about renewing the mind, God doesn't dictate it, but rather it says what? That he beseeches us. He beseeches us. In other words, we have the choice. We have the choice to serve God. We have the choice to renew our minds or not renew our minds. But the benefits of renewing our minds are just as great or greater than the joy and the choice that was set before the Jews, where Moses said, you know, before you is life and blessings or death and cursings, right? Well, our choice is, we've already made the choice, we have eternal life, but as we walk with God, we see the blessings in our lives, we see the greatness of it, and we really live with true freedom as we walk with God, okay?